seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of the Revelations, chapter 17, and the verse 14. The book of the Revelation, chapter 17, and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The book of the Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Maybe those of you this afternoon that have things that you cannot overcome, both in your own heart, in your pathway, in the things that concern you. But, oh, may this word sweetly be fulfilled in your heart and mine, and the Lamb shall overcome. He has all powers, Lord of lords and King of kings, to do everything for his dear people. It's a wonderful mercy, amidst all the troubles of the earth today, that the Lord is still on the throne, still in control of all things. We think particularly that beautiful word in the Psalms, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. And how sweet it is when we can feel the Lord is reigning over all that we have to walk through. But I want us help to look a little at the latter part this afternoon. This beautiful clause of the close of the verse, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, there's a solemn dividing line through this text. There are those that war against the Lamb, but there are those that are with him. You think of the dear Apostle Paul, so often during the course of his ministry, there was so much against him. Cast into prison, persecuted, beaten. But you look at the other side, how many loved him and adored him for the truth's sake. His ministry made life and power by the Holy Spirit to many precious souls. Now I want to look at these three things that are couched in this closing part of the verse. And they that are with him are called. You look in the case of dear Naomi, when she came out of Moab. Ruth was with her. Orpah came with her to start with, but went back to her gods and to her people. Naomi was a most beautiful illustration of the Church of God. She loved the Lord. She was guided continually by him and directed. We know she was a poor sinner and we know she made mistakes. But the Lord was with her. And the Lord made Ruth willing to be with her. Because she wanted Naomi's God to be her God. Didn't she say, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee? For where thou dwellest will I dwell, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And she wanted Naomi's God. She went with her. Because the Lord was with her. We think of that word too in the Minor Prophets. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And dear Ruth could say the Lord was with dear Naomi. This is why she desired to go with. You think, well, the Saviour was here upon the earth. How many desired to go with him? The dear disciples called by the Lord Jesus from their fishing boats, weren't they? Matthew from the receipt of custom. The Lord called them. He said to them, "Follow me." And they rose up and they left all and followed him. Our text speaks of, "and they that were with him." You know, if we desire to be with the Lord while we are here in this earth, we shall be with him in glory. It's not those that go through time and no desire to be with him. They want to be with him here, and they want him to be with them, and they want to be with him in glory, without a veil between. And so he says here, "and they that are with him are called." Now, does it exercise your soul and mine this afternoon? Are we amongst those that are called? We are told in the Word of God, "many are called, but few are chosen." That's a very solemn and searching word. There were many heard the call while the Saviour was here upon the earth, but few were manifested to be chosen. But oh, to be amongst those that are called, called to serve the Lord, called to seek him, called to call upon him, called to endure with him. We read concerning the dear disciples, "Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations." They were with him, you see, even in his agonies, in his sufferings, and they longed to be with him. If you really love a person, naturally, you want to be with them. And think about it far greater so spiritually. You'll want to be with the dear Redeemer. You'll want him to be with you and with me. And so he speaks of those that are called. And may we be so concerned about our calling. Give diligence, the apostle said, to make your calling an election sure. We think too of those that are called, they're called to leave not only the things of this world, but they're called to forsake their sins, to forsake the things that nature loves, and they're called to do it. That is one side of it, the many things you're called from. But look at the other side. What are we called to? Are we called to follow him? Are we not called to be obedient to his word and to his commandments? Are we not called to suffer affliction for his name's sake? Are we not called to be much in prayer? We hear many professors of religion, they say, but we're called to this and called to that. Well, who has called them? Satan does much calling, you know. But, to be given that discernment to discern whether it's the call of Satan or the call of the Lord. If you go into Mount Carmel, where Elijah sought to prove to the prophets of Baal who was the living God in Israel, there in that mount, the Lord manifested to Elijah that the Lord had called him to serve the living God. The prophets of Baal thought they were called to serve Baal. There's many, you know, today they serve this idol and that idol and they think they're called to it. They're only called to it by Satan. And so were the worshippers of Baal there on Mount Carmel. And Elijah proved to them who was the living God in Israel. God sent the fire down. Elijah was called of God. But then, of course, there are those called to be useful in Zion, and called to be servants of God, and called to bear office in the church of God. God has called them. If you read some of the old books of the old divines, their calling was very clear. They're called by divine grace, they were. You think of Saul of Tarsus. He went back continually throughout his ministry, and whenever he was questioned by the rulers and leaders and the kings, like before Agrippa, he went back to that heavenly calling. Oh, he did. And well could he write to the Ephesians on that sacred point. It's by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. He could give diligence to his calling. May it exercise each of us that we may be called of God. And of course then we think of the much favoured house of Mary and Martha. You remember when Lazarus died and the Saviour came to the house? What did Mary say? The Master is come and calleth for thee. Calleth for thee. And the day is fast coming with each of us, isn't it, when we shall be called from time state into eternity. Are we ready for that calling? The Lord is fast calling his people home. Oh, that we might be amongst those that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you may wonder why the wording of this, like on other occasions in the Word of God, the Lord puts the calling before the choosing. You see that word, I often quote it, give diligence to make our calling an election sure. Why did the Apostle put the calling before election? Well, in my little understanding of it, it is this. If we are truly called by God, it's a wonderful evidence that we're among the elect, the chosen. If we are truly called of God. And therefore he puts that call in as a very essential part, because it's only the Lord that can call a sinner by grace. And he calls them because he's loved them with an everlasting love. They were elected in Christ before the world was formed. Chosen in him. What does the hymn writer say? Something to this effect, doesn't he? Chosen in him ere time began, I choose him in return. If the Lord has chosen us, he'll make his ways our choice. We will. There's a beautiful illustration of it, isn't there, in the case of dear Moses. You go to Hebrews 11, where the apostle describes the whole life and experience of Moses in a few verses. That man of God. And what does he say? By faith, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, if the Lord has chosen us, he'll make his ways our choice. We won't want to choose the world. We won't want the things of time, not if he has chosen us. Our old nature will, our old flesh will, it's so much of this earth, but in the heart, the Lord will make his ways our choice. What do we read in the Psalms? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Do you know what it is where he's chosen you and calls you to approach unto him? It was wonderfully manifested in the case of Saul of Tarsus, wasn't it? You remember when the Lord appeared to Ananias and told him to go to Saul, and the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. To show forth my praise. And the second thing he said was this. When Ananias questioned the Lord where to find him, and he said this, exactly what Saul was doing, for behold, he prayeth. The Lord had made that dear man's choice to be the Lord's choice. It was proved by God, wasn't it? So we find in this text, and they that were with him are called and chosen, and chosen. And oh, may we have that sweet assurance that he has chosen us. You know, it's one of my greatest concerns to know we're among the chosen of God. And you will have to give the Lord no rest, won't you, till he tells you. It's like the hymn writer said, till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. And mine goes to what the Lord said in Acts 22, what Ananias was enabled to say, and it was not Ananias' words, it was the Lord's word to Saul, a beautiful word of assurance the Lord had chosen him. And we read this, and Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of the Jews which dwelt there, came unto him and stood and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And then this sacred word, a fourfold blessing for the dear apostle's heart. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to your poor heart and mine this afternoon. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Oh, may that fourfold blessing be ours. You know, when the Lord wonderfully works in the sinner's heart, in your poor heart and mine, if we're among these characters, he'll bring us to points where it says in God's word, choose this or choose that. And what our old nature would choose, the easiest path, or the most things that are attractive to the flesh. But under God's grace, we choose, like Moses, to suffer affliction with the people of God, and choose the blessings that were to flow from it, the blessings of heaven. Now, may I lovingly say this afternoon, how is it with you? What are you going to choose? You're going to choose the world, and Moses had the opportunity to. He could have chosen everything of Egypt and been the Pharaoh. But no, under the grace and influence of heaven, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And you look at the blessing that was to follow. Esteeming the reproach of Christ of far greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And then listen, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The blessed reward is he's in glory now. Oh, what a blessed choice. May the Lord grant to you, dear children, you young people, the grace that he gave to dear Moses. And they that are with him are called and chosen. And then listen, and faithful. And faithful. I just want to have a brief word on this, really, because it's a very beautiful word. And faithful. The first aspect of it is this. The Lord will give them faith. That's what will make them faithful. Without faith, the apostle said, it is impossible to please God. That's why the world can never please God. That's why the ungodly can never please God. That's why the dead professor in religion can never please God, because they got no faith. But he gives faith to his dear called chosen children. And that faith is centred in a precious Jesus, and it's attracted to Christ. It's drawn to Christ, faith is. It has a blessed object in view, and that's the dear Redeemer. Faithful. You read Hebrews 11 of all those that died in faith, and the Lord made them faithful characters. Oh, he did. That's the first aspect. The second is this. If we are faithful in a natural way to our loved ones, our husbands, our wives, we're loyal to them. We cleave close to them. We're faithful to them. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Even looking at it naturally, we see so much that's the adverse today, where many are not faithful, even to those they love. Or profess they do. But what a blessed thing. Look at it spiritually. the Lord will make his dear children faithful. And what makes a person faithful naturally is love. And if we truly love the Lord, we shall be faithful to him, faithful to his word, faithful to his house, faithful to his people. And this is the character that's named in our text. And faithful. You take the Apostle Paul, whatever he had to endure, he was faithful to the Lord Jesus, faithful to his God. Oh, he was. Loyal in every way. We solemnly see so many today wander from the old paths, wander from the truth, wander from the Lord's people. There's not many are really faithful. And the reason you'll be faithful, and so will I, to the Lord is because we love him. And the more we know of the love of Christ shed abroad in our souls, the more we shall love him. Oh, we will. And the more faithful we'll be. Faithful to the Lord. Now, this is not what I have said. It's what the Lord has recorded here concerning those that are with him. They're faithful. Well, let me use just a brief illustration. You think of those 11 dear disciples. We know there were times where they doubted. Though we know there were times where they were following afar off. We know there were times where, like with Peter, and we've no stones to cast at him, they fell in sin. But you know, when it came to real vital things, they were poor sinners, but the Lord kept them faithful to him. Oh, he did. Oh, he did. You look how they went every... Well, he says, I quoted it earlier, they went even to Calvary with him. He says, ye are they that have continued with me. They've been faithful, you see. That's why they continued. The 11 were faithful to their dear Redeemer. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. You see, it's all very well following the Lord and say we do while things go well, but you think in bitter temptations, the agonies that he endured, and they followed. They were faithful to the dear Redeemer. And my great concern is that we might each of us, and we shall have to give account of this, how faithful we've been to the Lord, to his word, to his people, to his house, to the old paths. We see many that are wandering from them. But oh, to be faithful. Now he speaks here, doesn't he? And faithful. May the Lord give us grace to plead earnestly to be kept faithful right to the end. Right to the end. Well, just in closing, because of the ordinance, let me prove it to you in the case of Moses. What do we further read in Hebrews 11? By faith, Moses endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Who was it that was invisible? Well, it was a precious Jesus, as seeing him who is invisible. The Lord gave him faith to keep his eyes on Jesus fixed. And then we read of this, he endured. We are told by the Saviour himself these searching words, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You think how solemn if we just like the world or the ungodly they all come to the end. But the difference with the child of God, they endure. And how did Moses endure? As seeing him who is invisible. Well, I've only scratched around the surface of it today, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly assure us that we're among those that are called and are chosen and are faithful. And may the Lord give us that grace to be faithful unto the end. Amen.